While many of us are caught up in the MLB playoffs, college, NFL football, I got a little secret. Blazers host Sacramento next week to start the season. We are fortunate enough to have their courtside reporter, and I say it every time she comes on, your goal should be as good as your job and love your job as much as Brooke Olsendam. Brooke, always appreciate the time. How's life treating you?
That was such a lovely intro. I need to call like once a week just for a confidence boost from you to start my week off right. That was wonderful. Thank you. I'm great. I too love Lady Gaga. That got me in a great mood. I was kind of driving over here as we got into the segment. But I'm great. I'm just excited that the season is upon us. Couple, you know, preseason games under our belt where the guys, you know, as you saw, a bunch of guys rested last night. So got to see some of the young bucks, and that was cool. And, yeah, I really am really enjoying our new coaching staff. Chauncey Billups is just a class act, and he's really pushing. Well, they're all pushing for this team to improve defensively, and I know that Blazers fans love to hear it. So it's an exciting time. There's like a renewed sense of energy and excitement around this season. And, you know, I just love it. I'm here for it. I can't wait for that first regular season game.
You know, one general question, being that you're at the heart of the Portland sports scene with the Blazers, you're not far from Seattle. Is there any kind of palpable buzz? You know, it's the eve of the NHL season. Brooke, are people in Portland talking about the Seattle Kraken at all? Because as a lifelong New York hockey fan, I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, no, a little bit. I mean, I'll say my dad won't stop talking about it. He lives in Seattle, so that's, that changes. It doesn't really answer your question. But, no, it was so funny. For Christmas, we're both just huge sports fans in general, and he's, you know, huge Mariners fan, huge Seahawks fan. I mean, number one Blazers fan, but, you know, loves the Seattle sports, too. And funny enough, he came down for Christmas, and we exchanged gifts, and he got me a Kraken shirt, and I got him a Kraken hat. We were like, whoa, we read each other's mind. So I'm excited for it. I mean, Seattle has a great fan base, and, you know, you diehard Seahawks fans. They follow their Mariners. This year was almost got it, so close. So that was fun towards the end, but, that, you know, obviously just disappointing last game. But I know Seattle's jacked, but yeah, since we're on the same network, I've had a lot of conversations with people, especially in broadcasting, because, you know, everybody knows each other in sports broadcasting, especially the guys, you know, up at Root and our group, Blazers Broadcasting, you know, had relationships for years. So yeah, we're rooting for them, and it'll just be fun to turn on Root and, you know, catch a Kraken game. So yeah, it's fun. It should be exciting for Seattle. I know they are. And down in Portland, we're, you know, closest hockey team that we got, so we'll be watching.
Yeah, can't wait. There were three storylines over the spring and summer that I kind of mocked. Aaron Rodgers leaving the Packers, Russell Wilson leaving the Seahawks, and Damian Lillard leaving Portland. I thought it was a bunch of nonsense. I mean, I know there were rumors. When you were hearing this, did you ever buy any as legit? What was your take on the Dame wants out of Portland talk?
No, I never did. And he never said it. That was the thing. When everyone kept coming out with these rumors, and I mean, I love my friends and family, but my goodness, if I got one more tweet sent to me with a rumor, I'm like, stop it. Stop doing this. They're like, is this true? And one of my girlfriends sent me, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski, who always, he and Shams are the guys that always break news, NBA news, and 99.99% accurate at all times. So one of my girlfriends sent me a crazy Dame trade rumor, and she's like, Woj is saying it. I was like, that's a fake Woj account. He has 7 followers, girl. Like, come on. So anyway, to answer your question, no. And I talked to, you know, Dame a lot, obviously during the season. And, you know, when he has like a cool new shoe come out, or, you know, when he got married and all that stuff, I will text him and be like, congratulations, or I've got to get these, you know, stuff like that. And he and I have had, you know, in-depth conversations about, you know, his childhood and his life, you know, on bus rides. So I just trust him, and I know that if it's not coming out of his mouth, then that's why they're called rumors. It's a rumor. So it's not unfair to say he went to management and to the front office and, you know, talked about his desire to go past the first round, and he wanted to see this team improve. I mean, he said it. Neil has said it. That conversation was had. But in no way did he ever ask for a trade, contemplate it, consider it. And I think that it really showed when he came out and said, Rip City is my city. when he tweeted that, you know, I think all of Portland and Oregon was like, took a, you know, sigh of relief. But I never bought into him. I know fans were very concerned because, I mean, Portland basketball is Dame, you know. So I never bought into it. And thank goodness that he kept telling my friends and family, not true, it's not true. And he proved me right. So, but I knew that people were freaking out, and understandably so.
So they were leaning on you for therapeutic reasons.
Okay. Yeah. And then I started to need therapy for all of them texting me all the time. Like, leave me alone.
So, Brooke, you mentioned the new coach, Chauncey Billups. I kind of am always of the opinion, if you're going to make a big move, don't go retread, been there, seen that. Mm-hmm. I like the roll of a dice on an up-and-comer. The cliche mm-hmm. is you only get one chance to make a first impression. So whether it was the introductory press conference or maybe your first personal contact, what stood out to you about the new Blazer coach?
Well, yeah, actually, I got the chance to do a one-on-one with him right when he got into town, so before the press conference. So the first media that he did was a one-on-one at the practice facility with me. And just a class act, a wonderful interview. And, you know, he reminds me a lot of Dame in terms of interviews and his answers, because they're thoughtful, they're caring, tells the truth. And it's wonderful. Like, I pick up on so many things. He's one of those guys where, yes, he was a former player. Yes, he won a title. And he and I have talked about this. But he doesn't say it in a way to the guys like, well, back when I played or back when I was, you know, an all-star.
Right.
He's not like that. He will tell stories or, like, compare it to something in a way that doesn't make them feel that way. It's more of like camaraderie, right? Like, I've been in your same shoes. He talks about this a lot. He said, I was the starter. I was the best player on the team. I was the guy coming off the bench. I was the guy who never played. I know how each of these guys on that bench is feeling. And I'm an open book, and if they come to me and you don't want to talk about how they're feeling about being the last guy, you know, on the bench, I'll tell them how I felt when I was. And so it's really refreshing, and I agree with you. You've got to take a swing, you know, go for it, and it's exciting. He's pumped about it. It's his dream job. You know, his family's here. His daughter's playing volleyball in Lake Oswego and loving your new team, and it's just great to see him. The guys really respect him and, you know, respect what he's accomplished, and he just has a way with them. It's really kind of beautiful to watch. He's just funny, though. I asked him, and I talked about this in the broadcast last night, but, you know, we asked him about his first game, his actual first game coaching, like how it was for him personally, and I thought it was so cute. He was like, well, you know, I kind of was thinking about, like, should I stand more? Should I sit more? Am I walking around too much? And he's like, so I'm just going to have to feel it out, and I'll get a feel for it. But we thought that was pretty funny. Like, that was the first thing he thought of, like, should I be standing more? Wait, should I be sitting more? So little things you don't think about when your first game as a head coach. But overall, wonderful impression. We had a great interview. You know, I texted him after and said, I just really appreciate your time, and what a wonderful interview. So pleased for you, and you can't wait to meet your family. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting to know you better, and we're going to have a great relationship. And he had a lovely response and said, you know, I hope to have the same relationship you had with your former coach, which, you know, Terry Stocks and I are very close. So just the fact that he even mentioned that, I thought was, again, very classy. And he's just a cool guy. Man, just cool. Neil Everett, who is going to be our away host this year for 25 games from ESPN Sports Center, he's known Chauncey for a long time, and he and I were just chatting about him. And he's like, he's just the coolest. He's like the coolest guy in the room. You know, it's just chill and groovy. I'm like, that is so true. He's a cool cat. So overall, just a wonderful guy.
Yeah, Neil's my age, and we use words like groovy. But
Neil's the one that said groovy. Yes, that's right.
So you mentioned the move to Root. I mean, Kevin Calabro's back. So for fans, it's kind of a lot to get caught up on. And you mentioned, mm-hmm. we all know Neil, he's a duck. He's in the Shout video. Mm-hmm. I've met him a few times. He's a terrific guy. Just let us know mm-hmm. about his addition, working with him. And I know you just hit on it, but what exactly will his role be?
Sure. Well, so last year and in the bubble, obviously things were different. We did not travel. The broadcasting team did games from Moda Center, home and away. And I was up on the concourse with Michael Holton. I did sideline from there because I couldn't go down on the floor. And I also obviously hosted pre, post, and halftime with Michael. And so we hit it off. I mean, we just clicked right away. And so there was really something special there that our management saw, that we saw, we felt. And so they wanted to keep that going. And obviously I still would like to keep my sideline job because that's my connection to the players and the coaches. And I can tell fan stories, you know, from them, and I've been doing it for a long time. It's what I love the most, but I also really loved hosting with Michael. So we talked about it, and we figured out a way where I could remain hosting with Michael and still do Sideline, a full season of Sideline. So I'm thrilled for that. But because we travel to do Sideline, Michael does as well, the away games are still hosted from Moda Center. So I physically would not be there, either would Michael. So the position was open for away games for a host and an analyst. Well, not for an analyst. Orlando will be returning, but the hosting position was open. And it's a funny story. Neil was talking to a friend who, as a friend, that works in Blazers broadcasting. He's like, I heard that they're looking for a host, and he wasn't really sure what capacity or, you know, what the exact job was. So he called the Blazers broadcasting and had a chat, and it was just it just all fell together beautifully. So he is going to still remain doing some sports centers, but he's kind of filing back on that because, you know, he and his wife love the Pacific Northwest and want to spend more time here. So he'll be doing 25 of the away games, and then our local sports reporter, Jamie Hudson, will be doing half of the rest, and then Craig Birnbach, who used to do local sports as well, he's doing the other half of those. So they're kind of divvying it up, but Neil will have the most games with 25. And all I hope I explain that correctly.
No, that's got it. I was trying to take notes, but I can go back and listen. So couple final thoughts for Brooke. You mentioned it earlier. If this team's going anywhere in the postseason, the defense has to improve. And because he played for the Cavs, missed some time, injured, not sure many know about Larry Nance Jr. I mean, he had a really big defensive rating according to multiple analytics. So what's been the word about how he helps on that end? And the kind of player he'll be overall.
Yeah, the team is really excited about Larry. It was a big get. Not only is he just a wonderful human being, he's great, but he's defensive-minded. But, you know, he can shoot, too. He really, you know, he can do it all. And bringing him in, especially, it's funny because, you know, it's not just the new guys learning defensive schemes or learning, you know, a whole new approach. It's everybody, like the returners now, the whole new coaching staff. So everybody's kind of on a level playing field in terms of learning and picking up, you know, plays and picking up the new defense that's been implemented. So Larry's going to be key. Whether his role is, you know, coming off the bench, you know, that'll be great because the Blazers lacked a high defensive rating in the second unit last year. That was when the defense really dropped. So having him out there will be huge. And everybody's really picking up on it. Coach said, you know, specifically Larry is definitely picking up on it. He's a smart guy. He really communicates well, hard worker. So, and just like I said, a great attitude. So he's going to be great on both ends. And just defensively as a whole, Coach, you know, mentioned it last game that since they had a full week before game one and game two, he really saw the defense coming together and guys really knowing where they're supposed to be and communicating. And he really kind of, he didn't say dumbed it down. He said, I want guys to work harder, smarter, not harder. So he kind of is scaling back on the specifics, like, you know, five different kinds of defense. You know, he really wants to make it simple so that there aren't the excuses like, I thought we were doing this, I thought we were doing that. He explained it like it's either left or right. So you got a 50-50 chance of getting it wrong. So if that happens, we're going to address it, hold everybody accountable. And he just said they made great strides this last week. So I'm looking forward to that first regular season game where everybody's playing and we can see it as a whole because, you know, last night was half the roster. So I'm looking forward to see it, and I know fans are too.
Now, the last person I want to hit on is Tony Snell. His acquisition kind of snuck under the radar as a one-year deal. He took a pay cut. You know, he was once a first-round pick by the Bulls. He had some injury issues, but good length. Can hit deep. So I guess the question's twofold. How is his ankle, and what are they expecting his role to be as he's either behind CJ at the two or Powell at the three?
It's a great question. We have not seen Tony Snell at all. I mean, we've seen him in person, like on media day and all that, but he has not participated in a training camp, in the practice, obviously not in games. So it's really hard. I wish I could give you like my opinion from watching him play, but we haven't had the opportunity. But I mean, yeah, it's a big get too. And there isn't even a timeline yet for the foot injury. And I think they're just kind of waiting to get through preseason to really address just how long these guys are going to be out. And if they are going to be out, I'm not saying that Tony Snell definitely will, but I have a feeling that they're going to want to get him into some conditioning before they throw him out there right away. And he's been watching, but, you know, it's kind of different than being actually in the drill. So, yeah, Tony Snell's been someone, you know, we really want to see play because we've heard such great things and we've seen such great things from him in the past. But unfortunately, that, you know, that foot injury is just still nagging him, and he hasn't participated in anything. But I would see him, yeah, 2-3, coming off the bench and just seeing, like, when, again, a tough defender, and he can score too. So, yeah, kind of similar to Larry Nance, but different games, but they have a lot of the same strengths. And, again, just looking forward to seeing it with my own eyes, but we haven't had a chance to do it yet. I know he's itching to get out there, and it's tough, though. You know, when you come to a new team with an injury, you can't participate. You can see he's frustrated. So the sooner we can get him better, you know, in shape, back on the floor, or on the floor to start with, then we can assess him better.
All right. Well, great information and insight as always, folks. She's Brooke Olsendam. Remember, now tuned to Root. She'll be filling many roles. She'll be doing her courtside reporter thing, bringing you great stories. On Twitter, use at Brooke Olsendam. Brooke, always a pleasure. I always greatly appreciate your time. Enjoy our conversation so much. Be well, be safe, and of course, I'll be after you once the season gets started.
Awesome. Hey, you stay groovy, okay?
You got it, Brooke. Take care. Thanks a lot.
Bye.